It's Friday, the 21st of February 2014, and the first location report of the Midweek Drive has launched. Thanks to Ed Wellman's superb driving skills, we have actually made it to the South Bank of London. We're at the BFI base on the London South Bank, awaiting Louis Savvy to actually arrive. Ed, first of all, good to be back on the road with you once again, sir.
Very, very good. The sun is shining. We are on the South Bank, as you've said. Nice, nippy morning. London looking spectacular so far.
Well, it's obviously turned out in full force, because not only have we got the legend that is Katie Grimerson with us. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Just on her first coffee of the day, so who knows what she could be like later. But also, a relative newbie to the team, but making her first location report debut, that would be the wonderful Rachel Warren. Rachel, how are you finding the whole experience so far?
Very good. And coffee, London, it's great.
There we are. It's all together. As we said, Louis Savvy will hopefully be joining us fairly shortly. He's making his way over from East London to talk about the excitements of Sci-Fi London 2014. And then we'll be making our way up to On Broadcast to do a whole range of wonderful things there with Rosie and meeting them in person for a change. We'll be speaking hopefully to Richard Fitzwilliams. We'll be making our way to the National Theatre. And of course, on our way to the wonderment that is Liz Brewer, followed by Tea with Sarah Huntley. And don't forget, dear listener, you'll be with us every step of the way. You can also access the photographs that we'll be taking on the facebook.com/Southside Broadcasting website. Great news. The man responsible for Phil Leonis's weekly slots on the Midweek Drive is actually with us. And indeed, indirectly, Ilana Raine as well. That would be whom, Ed Wellman?
I thought you were going to ask me that. It would be the one and only Louis Savvy.
Yay, Louis Savvy's with us.
Morning, how you doing?
Very good indeed. Now, Louis, you look a lot more relaxed in this particular location than when we last saw you back in May, when I think a little bit of fraughtness was creeping in, really.
There's always a little bit of fraughtness in the back of organising Sci-Fi London, but I'm in my second office at the BFI. This is, you know, I like to hang out in a coffee bar and just contemplate life, the universe and everything while I'm here, so yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Rachel Warren, of course. Rachel, this is your first experience of the BFI, and I think you're already quite impressed.
I am quite impressed, yep. First time come here. There's a lot. Seems to be a lot going on.
Interesting debate to start off with, Louis. Rachel maintains Game of Thrones is not science fiction, it's fantasy, isn't that right?
I would say it's fantasy, yep.
It's definitely fantasy. It's not science fiction at all.
Well,
why it's in sci-fi now, I don't know. You know, given the conversations I have with marketing people who say, oh, no, that's not sci-fi, we couldn't possibly include it, and yet they, you know, are very firmly in a science fiction magazine. And
this is the point. Okay, so I'll call that an honourable draw, then.
Yeah, thank you.
So it's okay. Not an honourable draw, you lost.
Yes. All right, Louis, thank you. You can go off people, you know.
Yeah.
Moving on, Katie, you recovered from the Sci-Fi Film Festival in 2013, of course. Are you looking forward to the 14th Science Fiction London, Sci-Fi London Film Festival?
Yeah, I am indeed. What are you looking forward to most about it?
What am I looking forward to? I say this quite often, actually. I'm looking forward to the end when I can have a sleep. So
you don't mean that, Louis.
I don't mean that really at all. No, I'm looking forward to, we've got a lot of stuff going on. The thing I get most excited about, actually, is the 12th of April when we have our 48-hour film challenge, which kicks off, again, from the BFI. We've got about 180 teams signed up so far. I reckon we'll get to 300 or 400 by the time we're ready to start. We're hoping to see some amazing films made again, and then by the time the festival comes, we will have watched them all, judged them, we'll know who the winner is. We won't tell them, we'll invite them to the festival, and then we go from there. So, and then at that point, it's kind of, you know, we're on a roller coaster with some great, you know, great fun.
Now, I was talking about the 48-hour film challenge with Ed and Rachel and Katie earlier, and we've committed the last 2 years to effectively send a team in there. So what, even if it's not Rachel, Ed and Katie who actually do the filming, what do we need to relay back to our film studies students and our media production students at Lincoln that they need to do? Because they've sworn this time around, yes, we'd like to do that.
Okay, very, very easy. Go on the website, scifilondon.com, click the 48-hour link, and there's a registration form there, just sign up so we know you're taking part. Then you can either come to the BFI, where you can collect, randomly pick your pieces of paper that give you the title and the dialogue and things you have to use, or you can play by email and SMS. So we will actually, they can stay where they are, and then we'll just send them that information on the day, and we randomly pick it for them. We also actively encourage preparation. You know, if you want to make a good film, you're allowed to prep. So that means going and finding actors, choosing some locations. You know, there's always things that look interesting that you think you might want to use in a sci-fi movie, be that something about clones or zombies or a post-apocalyptic scenario, whatever it is. Just go and find a couple of things that you think you might want to use and clear permission to use those places now. You might also want to look at getting a few props, whether or not you end up using them or not. But if you've got something that looks like a ray gun or looks like a backpack, or last year we did a count with 47 films with gas masks.
Only 47.
Yeah, there were 18 women in jeopardy. We had 16 films that started with a man walking through a field. It's just
classic man walking through a field.
Exactly, you know, walking through a desolate open field and that sort of stuff. You know, and we kind of go, oh no, not again. You know, but actually, some of those films, you know, end up being very good.
Any films start off with a midweek drive location radio reporting crew kind of doing various things?
Not yet, but we have had one. We did have one film actually, which did start in a radio station. So, but it wasn't it. It was another radio station.
Of course.
You know, and we don't know who they are. We don't really care, you know. But, yeah, preparation, we say, is absolutely key. You know, start building your crew. Start thinking about who's editing, who's making coffee, you know, where your sound effects and music might come from. What happens if your hard drive fails? Are you going to burn a DVD at the end? You can even start thinking about ideas for things like titles and all that kind of stuff. You want to be... What we do really advise, though, is just don't write a story. Don't write... you can have a theme or an idea or a kind of tone for what you might want to do. Again, Gareth Edwards, when he won it in the first year of the event, knew he wanted something near future, dystopian in its feel, but then that was about it. And then he got Factory Farmed, a line which had something like, your orders mean nothing and don't counter, you know, some military-sounding phrase. And
your orders mean nothing. Yeah. They don't count.
It's that kind of thing he got. So from that, they managed in a couple of hours to write an idea based on the, okay, it's near future, da, 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 and they came up with cloning because they had Factory Farmed as a title. The only line of dialogue in the film was the line of dialogue we gave them. They went on to Google Earth, or Google Maps, put the satellite view on, then looked for the most miserable-looking, desolate place they could find on that satellite map.
And it wasn't Lincoln.
It wasn't Lincoln. It was the Isle of Grain, in fact. And it was fairly near to London, so they went there. They went to Canary Wharf because they wanted high-tech and, you know, desolate. And they made that film, and it won, and, you know, his second feature film, Godzilla, is out in May. So, you know, it's...
That's the magic of sci-fi
exactly.
London.
Exactly.
Rachel.
Oh, that all sounds so cool. Like, you must be really exciting to watch them all. But considering people only have, like, 48 hours, how long do they tend to be, like, each film?
Well, there are rules, in fact, for that. So the film must be longer than 3 minutes, and it mustn't be longer than five. So it's 3 to 5 minute film with titles and credits and soundtrack and edited and everything. That's the thing. So we want 5 minute, 4.5, 5 minute films is the average that we get. We did have a couple of teams last year who said, is 9 minutes acceptable?
No!
And we said no. And then they came back. They went away, actually. They were here at 9 o'clock in the morning on the Monday, and they had until noon. And they went away and edited it and came back. We've got it to 7.5. And I said, that's still... you don't qualify. It's that's a failure to meet the challenge rules.
If it can't fulfill the brief, it's not worth doing.
The thing is, it's also unfair to the other filmmakers who have had all these things that they wanted to put in and actually have had to cut some. So we do get films where you're watching it and you're quite engrossed in the story, and then suddenly it ends very badly because you can see they kind of ran out of time. Or other films where, you know, they've just spent 5 minutes on what really they should have edited it down to 3 minutes because the story was just... you know, didn't do it. But we found that the ones that get shortlisted and reach the top 10, and three of the winners from the last 5 years of the challenge have all made it up on the day. They've come, they've got the stuff we've given them, and they've been really, really inspired to create something on that day and come up with great films. Because your ego doesn't get involved as well. If you've written a story and you try and film it in 2 days, it's just not enough time. You know,
Rachel, any other questions?
Not really. I just think it just sounds all right. Quite exciting. Must look forward to watching them all.
Absolutely. I mean, it's last year we had 181 films made, so we watched 181 shorts. And as I said, as we were going through, we started doing a count on all of the tropes, all of the things. Oh, not again, another gas mask. Not to say that that's not a problem. It's not a problem. I think there were 3 gas masks in the top 10. So we get that down to about 25 films, 25, 30 films for our short, our long list. And then we spent about another 5 or 6 hours going, re-watching all of those to get it down to 11. And then it took us 4.5 hours of shouting and screaming at each other to get one of those films off the list, because it can only be 10 on the list. But actually, it was really good fun. It's really, you know, beats working for a living. I'm always amazed at the creativity. I mean, the films that, you know, the things that these teams come up with are just incredible, incredible talent out there.
I'm sensing, actually, if we don't get a film crew made, which I'm sure, Ed, you can look after getting something from Lincoln, can't we, in terms of getting rising to this challenge?
Well, look out for the posters. Yes. That's the general way.
Yes. Yeah. Sarah Barrow, I know, is very keen on that whole system. And since even if we don't do that, we should really actually sort of just follow the sort of the decision process. We'd obviously have to bleep out some of the expletives, yeah, but I think it would be nice.
The other thing that, you know, I say to everyone who's thinking of taking part is on the Monday, when you speak to your friends and they say, what did you do at the weekend? You know, they ate some pizza and went to a club or whatever they did. You can say, well, we made a film, you know, because whether you win or not, you made a film that weekend. And that's quite an achievement, to actually bring everybody together and then just spend that concentrated time. You should encourage, you know, the bosses at midweek and at the university and so on to say, right, well, this is a management exercise. You know, forget paintballing and other team building exercises. Try and make a film together, because that's where you'll really see how well you get on and who can lead a team and, you know, keep people on time and all that.
Now, I've got a little revelation for you, Louis, because there's a member of the team here who just, when she knew that we were going to speak to you today, just said, oh, I just love the way he speaks. You could just say anything, really. And I think, Katie, that might be yourself, really.
Oh. That was me, yeah.
So, Katie, questions from yourself.
I don't think I've got any other questions, actually.
You've just been blown away by your whole self.
We're sitting here. The last time we met, actually, we were absolutely baking in the summer, and now we're freezing in the winter. But that makes me want to know about the sci-fi year, and there's an event a couple of weeks' time.
SF Weekender.
Yep. That you're part of. Does it kind of roll through all the way through the year, or do you have a break over the Christmas period?
This year's, there's an awful lot going on in the UK. So, I mean, apart from, obviously, there's Sci-Fi London in April, and then there'll be another Sci-Fi London sometime in October.
We're and for the first time in a long, long time, the World Science Fiction Convention.
We've got Worldcon coming here, LunCon 3, which is at XL, 14th to the 18th of August. And again, we're doing the film programme for that, so Sci-Fi London are very involved in that. We've obviously got the Sci-Fi Weekender in Darkest North Wales. But actually, it's great. If you want to come along, it's great fun. It really is a really enjoyable weekend. And Craig Charles is a brilliant DJ. He does the Saturday night closing party, and I think I was dancing for 5 hours.
Yeah,
my volunteers were coming and going. Are they still there?
You know. With that gas mask?
No, I had a kilt on, actually. I was dancing in a kilt, so just because, you know.
Just because it's there.
What happens in North Wales stays in North Wales. I think that's the way we like to see. Although I've now publicly broadcast that information overnight.
We have indeed, actually.
There are
sort
pictures
of
on Facebook, I think. So, there's the Sci-Fi Weekender coming up in March. There's Sci-Fi London after that. Then we've got Worldcon. Interestingly, the BFI now run a thing called a Blockbuster Season. And they've recently just closed on Gothic, which is a 3-month celebration of the dark heart of cinema. So they've been looking at all sorts of different takes on gothic movies, horror movies, and so on. So everything from whatever happened to Baby Jane, A Night of the Hunter, you know, which wouldn't necessarily be seen as a horror film, but although I think they're horrific movies, you know. And then at the other end, you've got things like The Exorcist and so on. So you're kind of classic horror tropes. This year, October to December, January, is science fiction. And that will again be a nationwide celebration of the genre and the importance of the genre in film. And we're hoping to be very involved in that as well. So just across those 5 events, there's a whole year of science fiction going on. Plus, you know, all of the other small cons, Easter Con.
And of course, Fanderson, Jamie Anderson's, you know, working very hard with respect to that celebration of all things his father.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it's it's very much in the, you know, public facing again this year. It'd be nice if some sponsors realised that as well. We all need the money to be able to do this stuff, but hey, you know. And there's also a slew of great movies coming, you know. There's, I mean, I'm very excited to see Interstellar. I can't wait to see Transcendence.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not so much of a comic book fan. I'm not into that. I mean, I'm sure it'll be for fun.
We've got, of course, the new Wachowski brother and sister connection, of course.
Yeah, Jupiter Ascending. I'm waiting to see.
I think a lot of people are, actually.
Yeah.
After Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, I hope it does. I hope it's, you know, what they did with Bound, which I still think is their best film. And then what they introduced with The Matrix, which I think was a great film. The other two, I don't, you know, a bit like Highlander 2, I try not to remember.
There can be only one.
I hope they do a good job.
Rachel, lots of exciting science fiction things here. Rachel, this relatively recent recruit to the team, did the science fiction module in English. Any thoughts on sort of what's upcoming?
Not really, it just sounds really cool. I like the sound of the gothic thing. That sounds quite interesting. But yeah.
Positive stuff there. And Ed, as you were looking through Sci-Fi Now, other magazines like SFX are available, of course, but SFX aren't connected with the SF Weekender. It's very confusing last year, but still.
We are, and exactly. SFX are our media partner, so yeah, we love SFX.
Dave Bradley, wonderful. Dave, in fact, two Daves and a Richard, of course, who work very. And let's not forget John Jarrell, who I know we're connecting with all sorts of things there. But Ed, are you gradually beginning to be converted to the whole SF theme?
Gradually beginning to recognise one or two more people. I mean, splendid looking chap here. Oh, and him as well. Gerry Anderson there, of course. So yeah, it's a world that I am stepping into, you know, a little bit further each time.
Well, and the counter to the magazine, you know, because a lot of the magazines will obviously focus on the big franchises and the big movies that are coming. And so, again, I would encourage you and everybody else to come to Sci-Fi London, where what we try and do is champion all those independent movies that just don't get a distribution window here, because there's very few, you know, there aren't enough screens, there isn't enough money, you know, there aren't enough people buying this kind of stuff to bring it to the UK, and that's what festivals exist for, you know, that's why we're around.
In fact, we'll actually sort of show you some of our current calendar shots from Sci-Fi London in a few seconds. But Katie, are you looking forward to Sci-Fi London 2014?
Yes, I am.
And Rachel, are you looking forward to Sci-Fi London 2014?
It sounds really cool. I like the idea of like showing more things that aren't just like comics and things, sci-fi.
This is from a Fringe fan. She liked all five series.
I love Fringe. I thought it was one of the, in fact, I was sad when it went, because I thought, what am I going to watch now? What is there left? I was absolutely hooked. Although have you seen Continuum?
I've looked at that.
They've got
Nichols in it.
It's
she comes back from the future.
Yeah, it's not as good as Fringe, but it's got a very similar kind of multi-threaded storyline and a, you know, nice kind of monster of the week thing going on as well. And she's great. The lead is really good.
Rachel Nichols.
Yeah, Rachel Nichols indeed. So. Exactly. Great.
I mean, she's no Anna Torv, but then again, you know, she's Rachel Nichols. Ed, I realise you're beginning to glaze over from that sort of point of view. We've got a head on, etc. Any final closing thoughts for yourself? Are you looking forward to Sci-Fi London?
I am, but was it really in April last year?
Yes, we're April, May. Our last day is normally the first bank holiday in May.
Gives us hope in all manner of ways.
And I will say two last things. One is all the information you need will be starting to be posted on our website, sci-fi-london.com, and we're on Twitter and Facebook, so you'll find us at Sci-Fi London. Just follow us on all those things. And also don't forget, if you fancy getting, even if you don't want to come and see any films, Sunday the 27th of April from Somerset House, marching over Waterloo Bridge, which we're almost sitting underneath, down to the BFI, we have our annual costume parade in association with Variety Club of Great Britain this year, and it's going to be fantastic. We've got a few celebrity surprises coming. We're going to have a very, very exclusive party upstairs at the BFI as well. And
do we get an invite, Louis?
You might. Depends how much of this goes out.
It's all splendid. And I do remember, actually, also 2 years ago, the classic line, which is still to be beaten for me: please walk at zombie speed.
Exactly.
Please walk at zombie speed. Even though you had a Will and Kate zombie at the front, I recall.
Yeah, we don't know who's at the front this year. Last year we had two Daleks at the front of the parade, so it was actually quite easy to just go at, because Daleks are, you know, they need the disabled ramps. you know. So
it's true,
exactly.
So, you know,
Louis has been fabulous. I know Phil Lyons will be listening to this with... have you got a message you'd like to put to Phil, basically? Because obviously he's over there. The Lady Killers is in post-production. He's hopefully he's going to come back to join us and do Lincoln Inspired and Sci-Fi London, likewise Ilana and so on. Any little message for the guys?
Just break a leg, Phil. Keep, you know, hope the film goes well. Hope post goes well. Same with Ilana with her new projects as well that she got coming on stream. And yeah, just keep making them and see you at the festival.
Now, Sci-Fi London was also responsible for Louis becoming an executive producer with a number of projects, including Ellipse and so on. He's made his own routine, and also award-winning now is to be added to the
Absolutely,
list.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, so I produced Ellipse with Ilana, and then I was a co-producer on a film called The Search for Simon, which is our first feature film made by Martin Gooch. Written and directed by him, and actually he's not on the poster or in any of the information, but he's the lead and he's fantastic. He's a really good actor. So it stars Carol Cleveland, Simon Jones, Chase Masterson, Sophie Aldridge.
Carol doesn't do the bikini shots she used to do in Monty Python these days, does she?
She's 73 and she still looks fabulous. She's a great actress. I mean, she's such a good actor. And she plays the role fantastically. And obviously, because she's involved again with the Python reunion that's happening at the Dome very soon, we are planning to have the film released in June, just ahead of that Python fever, and she's back with it. But
I think the fish flapping dance should come back, personally. People talk about the parrot, they talk about the argument, but the fish flapping, surely.
Yeah, no, I think fish, we didn't include that in our film, obviously. But actually, Terry Jones and Michael Palin come to the premiere. Carol brought them along, and we've got some lovely quotes from them. I think Michael Palin said it was very silly, and it's a sci-fi comedy, and it's supposed to be, but actually, it's quite a dark story. But we've won two awards on it. Now we won the best film at Monaco in the Monaco Film Festival, and we've just recently come back from the Boston Sci-Fi Festival, which is the oldest sci-fi genre festival in the world. It's 39 years old now, where we won the audience award.
I think that deserves a little round of applause here, please. You know, Boston and Monaco. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much, and well done to Martin for I'm fabulously proud of it. It's a lovely film, and we're now in production. We just wrapped on another short with a new director called Shimon Issa, and again Sci-Fi London have been producing that, which will premiere at the festival. And we're working with Martin again on Robert Rankin's last book, Alice on Mars, and turning that into a feature. Fingers crossed that will be at Sci-Fi London next May.
I'll set a challenge actually for yourself, Louis. Try and do a film adaptation of Hollow Chocolate Bunnies of the Apocalypse.
No.
Robert, you heard
it
there.
You want the screenplay on, I'll have a look.
Robert, fabulous as ever. And again, we'll catch up with you again. I said lots of sort of things. We must come on set with you one day. Isn't that be an option?
No, that would be fantastic, actually. Once we start shooting the next thing, you'd be very welcome.
Yeah. Would you be up for that, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely.
Visit
Katie? Oh, yeah.
You see? Ed?
Always.